News Radio.
Did you know you could earn a transfer discount just by switching your motorcycle policy over to Geico? And if you already insure your car with Geico, you could even get a multi-policy discount. I've always wondered what it's like to ride a motorcycle, to ride my steel horse across the land, fighting crime alongside a tall brunette, Francesca. Sorry, my mind went to a strange place there. Where was I? All the Geico motorcycle discounts. Right.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our discounts could save you.
Get in the zone.
Summer's coming, so make sure your battery can handle the heat. Get it tested for free today at AutoZone before you get stranded. And if yours needs replacing, go with a proven tough Duralast battery, only at AutoZone. They're built with patented technologies to deliver the most power during startup in even the most extreme conditions. As temperatures go up, keep your battery going strong with help from AutoZone. Parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone.
AutoZone.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking, from famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis.
We are live at Founding Farmers. All right, Founding Farmers. Hello, everybody. Can we get a round of applause? All right. Woo!
And we should say Founding Farmers Potomac.
Yes, we're in Potomac.
We're in Shishi Potomac.
We're in very Shishi Potomac, and we're in this beautiful new restaurant.
I had
restaurant.
To use my passport Peace to get
talking.
In.
Okay. We're in this gorgeous new restaurant at Founding Farmers. It is out in Potomac Park, which is this great new area. It's just like Oz. It, like, sprouted out of nowhere. It's really fantastic. And we have a full house here today enjoying cocktails and brunch, and it's just going to be a ton of fun.
We got some crazy guests. We've got Executive Chef Joe Goetz, who is – he's not just the executive chef here for the sort of the opening phase, but you run the whole show, don't you?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time down at D.C., but first, glad to be here. I'm glad everybody made it out this morning.
Good.
But,
all right.
And you got – my sweet honey, Valerie Zweig, who is the honey director. Is that what you are, the honey?
Absolutely.
She's
got
a queen bee.
We'll explain it later. They have
I'll
bees.
I'll take it off.
They have bees. And mixologist, where is he? John Arroyo. John is our Steve Martin. He's been on the show 150 times.
Thank you. I hope I can live up to your expectations.
And it's because we like to get snookered when John comes on. So.
I have to say, these Bloody Marys are fabulous. They are so spicy.
Thank you. How are the Bloody Marys out there?
Is everybody enjoying the Bloody Marys?
All right.
Are they so good?
We're going to have a contest later. You'll have four Bloody Marys, and then you have to say Founding Farmers seven times without screwing up. All right.
Okay. Later in the show, talk about another Oz. Harbor East in Baltimore has also sprouted up out of nowhere, and that is where the new Four Seasons Baltimore is. It is a fantastic property. We've had the pleasure of staying there. It's magnificent. What's more cool is the two restaurants that are there. They're both Michael Mina concepts. One is Wit and Wisdom. The other is the brand new Pabu. It just opened up. It actually opened up on May 8th, which is my birthday, which is so nice of you
and
to
they
do.
Actually named, apparently, they named the restaurant after us, Wit and Wisdom.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very good.
Very
anyway,
good.
So we have both their chefs here. We have pastry chef Chris Ford and Jonah Kim, who's the exec chef of Pabu. We're going to hear all about those concepts in a little bit. And how many people here have heard of Lamb Jam? Do you know what Lamb Jam is?
Oh,
a couple
people?
Right. Let's hear it. Lamb Jam. Well, it is tomorrow, May 21st. It is happening at Eastern Market. And actually, we're going to give away two tickets to it later on in
it's
the show.
It's a lamb cooking competition for those of us who had no idea.
Thank you.
Including
it's
me.
So much fun. I actually get to be a judge this year. But Nick Stefanelli, the chef at Viviana, is here. And so is Pam the Butcher from Wagshaw's.
Pam the Butcher.
They are going to tell us all about it.
All right. And the Fancy Food Show is back in D.C., yay, at the Convention Center. It's coming up on June 17th to 19th. We've got Ron Tanner, who's VP with the National Association for the Specialty Food Trade. Peter Caldas of Caldas Brothers Olive Oils. He's a second-time Foodie and the Beaster. And Maggie Castello, who's from Hunt Country Foods. She's in talking about the event. She's been at the event since it started, I think. 20,
yeah.
20
and for
years.
Those of you not here on the show today, the people who are here are getting to walk away with a little swag bag that's filled with goodies from all the people who are here
so
today.
So this will teach all you cheapies for staying home.
Right, there you go.
You know what? You don't get a swag bag.
All right, well, let's start.
Let's start with John.
John.
Yes.
John Arroyo.
Yeah,
here
John,
I am.
We're going to start with that John Arroyo.
All right,
you
so
know,
this is our this guy. Is
he
the
puts
party.
Everybody
He's the star of the show.
This is our party master
that guy.
Of the day. So you have a cocktail coming out to all the
yes,
people sitting here.
Yes.
Tell us what we're starting with.
You're going to be receiving a sample of a cocktail that will be featured on our new menu called the Yellow Jacket. We have a section on the beverage menu now that's $8 savvy cocktails. So they're cocktails that are eco-friendly in several ways.
Like how? Explain.
Well,
what does that mean?
Eco-friendly, like good to the pocketbook, eco.
Okay.
Oh, economically.
Yes.
Economically friendly.
Good for everybody's environment.
Right, right, exactly. Very good.
This drink, I'm proud to say I've always wanted to use Val's honey. Mm-hmm. So,
Val's honey.
I've been begging.
Wait, I just want to say something. Val's family is here today, and right. every time we say her name, they preen.
I know. It's so nice.
We love her. Val, she's so amazing.
They lick themselves like kitty cats.
See, I didn't realize this was my...
Yeah. So basically, we have some fresh lemon juice here.
Uh-huh.
This is a very summery cocktail. Honey.
Right. But honey mixed with what? That's just not straight honey.
This is honey syrup. So it's one part water and one part honey.
And do you feel like this is a drink that people could actually make at home?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Everything that we're making today, you can make at home very easily.
Because I think people are a little intimidated about making cocktails at home. Now, see, you just did something I couldn't do at home. You just poured a little something in
That's
there.
Just a little love. That's what I call a little
what
love.
What is that?
Just a little splash of something. This is called maraschino.
Okay.
Not those terrible red things that we see at restaurants, but this is a spirit that is made with the stems, seeds, and skins of marasca cherries from
neat.
Italy.
Okay.
Very old spirit.
So you just put a little bit in
just
there.
A little love, just a little dash.
Okay.
And then gin. Beefeater gin for this guy here.
Okay.
A little dry.
Now, there's so many different gins out there. Do you have a favorite, and or do you use a different gin for different drinks?
You're exactly right.
Okay. Of course I am. It's my show.
This is a very user cocktail-friendly gin, so I use it in several of our cocktails. This is actually a variation of a drink that I'm sure if you've been to our restaurant before, you've had called the Bee's Knees.
Okay.
Which is gin, lemon juice, honey.
Right.
This is a variation of Bee's Knees. It's called the Yellow Yellow Jacket. And the only difference, it's the same recipe, but we just add a little bit of this maraschino and it gives it a little bit more aromatics.
Fabulous.
All right,
you're shaking that. So everybody is getting your drink right now. The Yellow Jacket is on the way, so everybody can give it a shot.
Look at that. And while that's happening, we're going to talk to Joe Getz. Because Joe...
All right, can we first have a hand for the chef? He's making all your food today. Joe Getz. Thank you.
And what's really amazing is he's here...
But you're still getting your food.
Much like Superman, he is also making your food today. So, Joe, when you Founding Farmers has a great restaurant downtown, but when you come out here to Potomac, what do you do to the menu to accommodate suburban tastes, if anything?
Great question.
Brilliant question.
Yeah, really. Questions are always great on the show. But, you know, the restaurants are very similar. When you walk into D.C. as well as you walk into Potomac, you'll see a lot of the similarities of what the restaurant sort of looks like. The menu is tailored 80% pretty much the same.
Okay.
But then we kind of tailor some special things for the Potomac area. We do a Potomac. We do a spatchcock chicken, which is a little bit different than our spatchcock chicken. It's a style of chicken, the way we cut it, and we cook it in our wood stock. It gets about 900 degrees, real crispy skin. Again, one of our items we use is Val's honey, which is fantastic, our honey thyme chicken.
Val's personal honey.
I think that honey's just going to come out quite a bit through the show as we get through.
I know. As the more people drink, it's going to get dirtier and dirtier.
So we try to tell the things as much as we can for the area. But for majority of the restaurant, it's designed a little differently. It's sort of the little sister and the big brother downtown.
Right.
Well, let's find out. How's breakfast so far?
Is everybody digging in? Breakfast is good.
There you go.
So tell us how this restaurant is set up and the kinds of things people can expect out here. And I know you work with a lot of vendors. You have a garden outside. I mean, tell us about sort of how it's all working.
We've been open about 5 months now.
Right.
It's going well.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's very similar to what we do downtown.
Okay.
So what could be a little bit different outside, we do have the garden, which is primary right now for our mixologist program.
Sure.
So we do incorporate a little bit into our kitchen, but right now we're growing everything until it kind of full blossom. We'll be able to incorporate a lot of those herbs and plants into our product in the kitchen.
Excellent.
But right now it's for the
Now, I've actually taken a tour of the kitchen. The kitchen is enormous.
It's enormous at sometimes, and then sometimes it's too small.
It but seems enormous part, to me. I have a little kitchen.
Yeah, it's small.
But
for what
but
we're
you
doing,
guys do
tiny.
So much here. You make your own.
Everything is
everything.
Scratch.
Everything.
It's over 125 items on the menu. There's over 982 prep recipes in the kitchen. So
wow.
There's a lot to manage on every day. So
right.
There's so many amount of product.
Well, wait, I just also want to say, and your pastry station, I mean, that is a real dramatic pastry station for a
lot of
restaurant.
Show, a lot of show, a lot of smells, a lot of activity. And we like to see that.
Okay.
All right, I got a question.
Okay, ask your question.
You've got a whole meatless section to the menu that I understand is getting
that's really good.
Sure.
Rave reviews.
That's doing great.
And as a carnivore, I want to know what you're doing because normally I don't go
I like
meatless.
It. We do meatless Monday. I like it. I think meatless, it's smart.
We do it 7 days a week here at the farm. So,
what are you doing there?
What's going on there? It's a lot of it's really vegetables. It's good preparations. It's good technique, and it's really just really bringing a lot of texture and flavor to sort of the things where it's not just a bowl of lettuce or a little bit of vegetables.
Are a lot
plate,
of people so. Asking for it, or a lot of people asking for
there was a big need
meatless?
For it. It's something we had to create and kind of put in. So with everything we were doing with the other 110 items on the menu, it was something we kind of R&D developed and pushed in. There's about 9 items on the menu that are doing really, really well.
Okay.
And
really well.
It's important to say that there are 7 of them or 6 of them are vegan. So
yeah,
it really
exactly.
Totally vegan.
Totally
that's
vegan.
The other thing.
Because I think that's hard to find. And I mean, restaurants are starting to do
sure.
that more and more. But,
sure.
I mean, specifically catering to that kind of crowd is a good thing
sure.
to do.
Certainly at this volume, because that is a whole different style of cooking.
Sure.
It's not just done on the same pan or the same skillet or the same grill. We do tailor the kitchen in smaller parts of the line where we do execute that a completely different
than
else. So
no meat has touched the product,
no
period,
meat
end of story.
It, yeah.
That's good to know.
It's
and
easier
is,
said than done.
No, I mean, you're looking at me like as a dedicated carnivore, all I can hear is wah, wah, wah.
But you know
wah,
what? Maybe
yeah.
you'll try it and be surprised.
Not
it's possible.
And it's foods that anybody would eat. It's not something that only that particular need is fulfilled. It's really everybody would enjoy it.
Okay. Now let's talk about the honey program.
Yeah.
Because this is a real departure for a restaurant to decide to get into the honey business.
Why don't
I mean, what
you
would
explain,
you call it?
Explain what you've got, because you've got beehives on Lisner Auditorium.
We
right?
do, well, on Lisner Hall. So
Lisner
it's not
Hall.
It's in the quad, I think. We decided to partner with
okay.
GW last
Thanks.
Year and create the largest restaurant-owned apiary. We had 6 hives. Unfortunately, they didn't survive last
Nikki,
year, which
Nikki
is normal.
Said, see, we were looking at apiaries. She said, what? And I said, that's birds.
That's aviary.
Yeah, I know. There was one letter off.
That's all right. Close enough.
What
so
a maroon.
We came back this year with 8 hives of Italian honeybees,
uh-huh.
and they're doing really well. I think that they're enjoying the beautiful Washington weather the
right.
way that we are.
But there was so many worries about the bees a couple of years ago, and is that still a problem?
Absolutely, there is. And I think, you know, we lost all of our hives last year and partly probably.
You lost all of them?
We did, yeah, and that happened.
Why?
We don't know. I mean, it could have been the confusing weather. It could have been CCD. You don't really – we weren't able to diagnose it. But this year we're going to try and take some measures to try and really figure out what went wrong and hopefully that we don't have that happen again this year.
Okay.
So
now how are you incorporating the honey into the Potomac?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. I mean, clearly it's in the drink.
Cocktails, the kitchen.
Right.
And when we open our new restaurant next fall, mm-hmm. late mm-hmm. fall, Farmers, Fishers, and Makers.
Right.
Hope we're going to have a larder, and hopefully we'll be selling some of our honey as well.
Oh,
so,
great. Well, I see
exciting.
The huge jars downstairs.
Exactly. We
but
have
that's
our,
not for sale.
It's not. Right here, it's just for display. It's talking a little bit about what we do. There's some antique bee pictures and stuff like that, which is pretty neat.
Right.
And, yeah, next year we'll continue to expand that.
All right,
and are you
so
trying to make it bigger? Is the program get? Do you have something to say?
I
that's
do
interesting?
Have something to
what
say.
Do you have to say?
I have something to say. So when all the honeybees were dying, and I don't know what's going on with
it's
that.
It's very sad.
Well, very sad. And we went to many funerals, thousands of them. But
there's a lot of bees in the hive.
A boatload. So is that why you have Italian bees?
No, I think that they sort of all run the same risk.
Do you speak Italian?
I do very well. I don't know. This year we did expand our commitment to GW, and so hopefully there'll be a little bit more time to focus on what may have happened with the bees and really
right.
focus on the research and make sure that they don't.
So what do? They just ship the bees over?
They do. Oh, yeah. I have pictures. They arrive in a – we actually – the professor that we work with picked them up.
Okay.
They come in like a little 2x4 type of thing, and there's a lot of bees, and the queen is in the middle of them so the bees can get used to her, and it's pretty amazing.
It's very, very
it's
cool.
It's really, really neat. So.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break. We're going to bring you guys back on at the end of the show. I think we have to taste some honey, though.
Oh, yeah. This is
it's
the
right
honey
here.
From last year.
Now,
we didn't get a huge
your hands
amount,
off my honey,
but it's really nice. It's really mild, very sweet.
Plenty honey to go around.
She's
what kind
honey.
Of flowers are they?
They
do we know?
This is D.C.'s best. I mean, they go everywhere. So you should be looking for the bees on the mall,
Yum.
By the White House. They're flying
Yum.
All over D.C. It's great, isn't it?
It's delicious.
It's great finishing.
All right. We're going to let you guys go.
Thank you so much.
You in a little bit.
We'll be here.
This is David and Nikki Nellis from Foodie and Beast. What did you guys think of your...
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Hey everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
On June 10th, we've got another live one for you. We're going to be at Jeff Black's Black Restaurant in Bethesda. We're going to be talking with the guys from Union Market, and there's going to be lots of oysters from both Rappahannock and Dragon Creek. So join us at Black's in Bethesda.
I guess you could say we're going to be back in Black's.
You bet.
That's Foodie and the Beast live Sunday at Black's in Bethesda on 1500 AM at 11 o'clock.
Have you heard? Founding Farmers is a top dining choice in D.C. and now is the hottest seat in Montgomery County. Located just off Route 270 at Montrose Road West, there's free parking, a great dining atmosphere, and the award-winning menus of great scratch-made foods with ingredients from American family farmers and from across the region. Come visit today for their incredible selections for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or weekend brunch. Learn more at foundingfarmers.com. It's Montgomery County's destination for true food and drink.
Like farmers markets? None's better than the fabulous Central Farm Markets in downtown Bethesda at Bethesda Elementary and in Rockville's Mid Pike Plaza. Each has 40 plus vendors with huge selections of local natural meats, poultry, organic produce, cheeses, plus yummy pastries, pies, cakes, fresh breads, even seafood and more. Want prepared foods to go? They got that too. Bring the family, bring the dog to Central Farm Markets Sunday in Bethesda and Saturdays and Thursdays in Rockville. Visit centralfarmmarkets.com for details.
Quack!
Move!
What you gonna do now on the farm? What you gonna see now on the farm? What you gonna hear
we're
now
back on Foodie
on the
and the Beast with David, Nikki, Nellis.
We're drinking.
We're always drinking.
Everybody's drinking.
So we're going to switch subjects with you and talk about Baltimore. Now, as a Washington native, I always thought of Baltimore as where? Nowhere. We never went to Baltimore. Now, you got to go to Baltimore.
Has anybody here been to Harbor East? Anybody in the audience? Has anybody here been to Harbor East? Or
yeah.
Michael's been to Harbor East. Anybody else?
So along with an incredible new development on the east side of the harbor is an awesome Four Seasons restaurant with two...
No, hotel. Four Seasons Hotel.
But what did I
that
say?
Has
restaurant.
Two restaurants.
Yeah. Four Seasons.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
do
yeah.
I know?
Yeah, right.
Four
right.
Seasons Hotel with two awesome restaurants. And we've got some, one is Babu, which is relatively new.
Right.
And the other is Wit and Wisdom, where we had an unbelievable meal.
Yep.
And we've got Chris Ford, who's the exalted and anointed pastry
exalted.
Chef.
Wow.
From
yeah.
Wit and Wisdom.
Yeah, exciting, right?
And Jonah Kim. Jonah Kim is the executive chef at Babu.
Well, you should explain why he's exalted. It's a
well,
food and wine.
He was the, I'm going to read it so I get it right. The Food and Wine 2012. Pastry chef of the year.
It's
this guy sick. Right here.
Oh, that's very
you,
cool,
you.
Isn't it? There you go.
It's not widely known that I was the 2012 pastry eater
of the year.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you, my
yes.
people.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. So, you know, I
well,
mean,
let's start. So, let's talk about the pastry. Well, first, let's talk about the Four Seasons Hotel at Harbor East.
At Harbor East.
Because
yeah.
it really is
amazing.
A total, like, crazy area. It's just unbelievable. Tell us, for the people here who don't know about it, tell them a little bit about it.
It's amazing. It has the best of everything. We have, of course, the Michael Mina outlets.
Right.
Amazing spa. The harbor is right there. It's beautiful scenery.
Is the pool open yet?
The pool just opened.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait to see
Infinity
the pool.
It's sick.
Right on the
exactly.
harbor, right?
I
know. I've seen it.
I am wearing
wait.
A thong right now.
Me too.
Oh, my
me
God.
Too.
Twins.
That's right.
Yay.
Want to see
I
it?
Will not be going with
somebody
either of you.
Dying
cool.
to see it. Okay.
Let's talk about Wit and Wisdom and what you're doing at the pastry program there, because that's a continental cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
You've got that massive, massive wood-burning oven
yeah.
stove. I don't even know what
Jefferson
to call it.
Jefferson Grill.
Amazing. So talk about the kinds of things you're serving there.
For me, it's Americana.
Uh-huh.
So for me, that's my childhood. So
right.
a lot of the pastries are... memories or thoughts I had as a kid,
right,
and what I wanted then.
You
or
thought
or
about
what
pastries
I had then.
When you were a kid?
Well, yeah, look at me.
Stop it. I'm obsessed with pastries. But, I love it.
Yeah, for me, it's childhood memories, and it should just be elegant nostalgia.
Well, but your display of your childhood memories is not what you were eating. I mean, they're so creative and different.
I think that's the best way, because when you get it, it's kind of obscure. You don't really know what it is. But
right.
When you eat it, it's simple, and you
I
go
love
back
that
to your childhood.
Drinks just show up.
Nice. It's awesome. Yeah, it's nice.
You need them at the order. It's like, drinks are here.
All right.
Okay. So now, how do you go from doing Americana pastries for Wit and Wisdom and move over to Pabu, which is an izakaya menu?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the best part of my job. But
wait a minute.
Okay.
What is izakaya?
Okay, chef. Well,
that's where Jonah
it's sushi.
Comes. Jonah.
No, it's not. You know what it is.
I don't know what it
yes,
is.
Yes, you do.
So, izakaya is, essentially, it's a Japanese pub.
Okay.
So, it revolves a lot about sake and beer. Mm-hmm. So, we have 90 to 100 different
sake.
So, we actually brought a gift for you.
Aww.
Yes. Nice. A bottle of sake.
How many sakes?
90 to 100 different sakes.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
and is there this is going to sound naive, but like, are a lot of people interested in sake?
Well, we do have a master sake sommelier,
oh,
so
neat.
They definitely are. A lot of the sake that we have, of course, we've built the menu with the sake so that they pair very well.
Uh-huh.
The sake that we brought today pairs a lot with the menu items that we have.
Well, no,
on the
and I
menu.
Think people don't know. I mean, this says keep refrigerated. Most people, I mean, not most people, but I think a lot of people, when they think of sake, it's hot sake. You know, that's what's served in a lot of... I know you're like, oh, my God, hot sake. But
comes
I mean,
out of a box.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of people don't know that there's over 90 different kinds of sake. Yeah. There are 100 different kinds of sake, and they're served cold, classically.
All right, but I got to jump in, and I cut you short. But so, Chris, you've got to go from Wit and Wisdom and kind of an American menu and then come up with desserts for...
izakaya.
Yeah. Yeah, I know izakaya, great guy, sweet guy. How do you do that? That's crazy.
Well, I mean, I was saying that's the best part of my job because at the hotel, I can hit every single note. We have the Mill Bakery, Americana, Wit and Wisdom, and now Pabu. I was lucky enough when I worked in New York, my mentor was Japanese, a Japanese pastry chef. So for me, I'm very comfortable with it.
Well, so I want some examples. Jonah, for people who don't understand izakaya, what are some of the things? It's not just sushi. I mean, what kinds of things do we have on the menu?
Well,
do you guys have a robotic grill?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Definitely we do.
Very cool.
We have a – it's funny. We were just talking about the Rabata grill just yesterday.
Does anybody in here know what a Rabata grill is? All right. Let's explain what a Rabata grill is.
Okay. So a Rabata grill is very traditional. It's a Japanese grill. A lot of people think of hibachi. But Rabata has Japanese binjotan, which is charcoal that they've been making for about 80 years.
Okay.
And we're using this charcoal in a more modern setting.
Okay.
So we have this modern grill, but we're using charcoal from 80 years ago in this grill. Yeah. So
do you just get it shipped in?
No. Exactly.
Okay.
So it's charcoal that's about $25 a pound.
Uh-huh.
So it's very expensive. But the cool thing about this charcoal is that it burns 900 to 1,000 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's extremely
hot. So the stuff is on there for no time, right?
Yeah, minute maybe.
And then how long does it burn for?
It burns all night. Like, we refresh it.
Uh-huh.
But the cool thing about it is that once we finish service, we can submerge it into water, and it goes out, and we use it the next day.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
I have a charcoal like that. That's cool.
So it's really, really, really cool.
All right, give us two of the top dishes that you're serving, like absolute must-tries at Pabu.
Well, definitely the sushi.
Okay.
A lot of the sushi that we're serving, we're bringing in a lot of product from Japan.
Okay.
A lot of our Kindai tuna is great.
Mm-hmm.
Chutoro, Otoro. I'm putting a lot of pictures up on Instagram with it. It's
okay,
really
so
cool.
How do people follow you on Instagram?
Just my name, Jonah... _Kim.
Okay.
Why did you have to look up to remember?
Like,
you don't remember your name?
No, I don't.
Well, okay.
And Chris, quickly, just tell people what they should absolutely try at Pabu from the pastry menu. Oh, come on, pick one.
For me, omosake is the best because it's like my playground for pastry. It's four different little small versions.
Okay, excellent.
Agreed.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you.
Jonah, we want you to come in studio, and we want to do a sushi demo.
And we want you to come into Pavu.
We will,
and
but
we want you to come
more than a sushi rolling demo, we want you to come in with some sushi.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. With your thumb.
Right. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Can we have a round of applause? Yeah. The chef from the Four Seasons Baltimore, Pavu.
All right. So we're moving them in and moving them out fast. Where are Pam and Nick?
They are coming. All right. So our next guest, we talked earlier about Lamb Jam. Lamb Jam is this fabulous, fabulous contest that's going on, competition that's going on downtown tomorrow. And it's all these fabulous chefs from all over the city, and they are cooking up lamb, and it is so much fun.
Oh,
Nikki's a judge.
That's why we're here. And look, we got handsome Nick Stefanelli, the
Pretty Boy
Brian
Nick.
Seligman lookalike.
Yeah.
And
Pretty Boy Nick
Stefanelli. Pam the Butcher from Wagshaw.
Yeah, Brian. Brian Seligman.
Brian.
You do not look like him.
You look just like him.
You don't look anything like him. Not at all.
All right, so Nick, are you with us?
And Pam the Butcher from Wagshaw.
Okay. All right. Let's start with Lamb Jam. Explain to everybody what it is, why it is, and when you walk in, do they go, Nick, like that? No?
I haven't gotten that one yet.
Well,
you just, did, so thank you.
You just got bod.
Lamb Jam is a competition created by the American Lamb Board to promote local lamb, and it's to show the varying different cuts. So it's there's six awards winned, Best in Show, People's Choice, and then each cut, which is shoulder, shank, leg, and loin.
Okay, but what is it about American lamb? Do you think that the American public doesn't know American lamb, or is it hard to find? I mean, what is it?
Sourcing is part of it, but also it's trying to find utilizing the local farmers and the small guys that are now coming into, like, Wagshaws and things like that, and being able to support that, which is supporting the local community. It's 10,000 miles closer than something that's coming from New Zealand or Australia or something like that, and a big conglomerate farming system.
Sure. So. Well, I mean, New Zealand did an incredible PR campaign years ago, but there is incredible American farmers now doing great lamb. So what are you cooking for Lamb Jam? Like, which part do you get? How do you get what you get? How
so
do you do that?
When the Lamb Board contacts you, they ask you to choose two of the cuts, and then they just pick at random what you get, and then a box of meat shows up at your door from Border Springs Farm. So I got 18 shoulders from Border Springs Farm, and then we're cooking the shoulders. So that's the cut that we have.
So the lamb's walking around with no shoulders?
Nope.
No shoulders. Shoulderless lambs. Okay. So now the event is sold out. I just found out. But we have two tickets that we're going to give away during the commercial break. It is such a fun, fun event.
Well, let's talk to Pam the Butcher from Wagshaw's. So what's your role in this thing?
Well, last year they asked me to come.
You need to speak louder.
No.
Well, last year they had me come and cut a whole lamb on the demo.
Right.
Up on the stage.
And there was
people.
Blood everywhere. It was gory and disgusting.
There was no blood because it's a locally raised pasture, you know, pasture raised lamb.
Wait, I'm going to ask for one of those meatless meals.
But, you know, I broke down the lamb and showed them how it comes whole, and then broke it down to a leg, bone in, boneless leg, a rack of lamb, and then, you know, showed them how to French the bones, made lamb chops from the loin, made a lamb saddle.
I knew a lamb that had a breakdown once.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did.
No, I just want to be your friend because you got that cleaver. All right, so where do the lambs come from that you're...
Oh, our lamb is branded. It's a Pennsylvania locally raised farm, grass-fed. And
how do you pick them? Do you have to go tour the farms and see what they're eating and the whole thing? How does it
work? Actually, the owner of Wagshaw is Bill Fuchs. I mean, when he opened the market, his whole idea was to do the right thing, to sell the best product out there. So, actually, the Lamb Jam came about because New Zealand and Australia had a drought and a flood, and we actually sent lamb there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, like 3 years ago.
I didn't know that.
Can you hear the lambs? Hey, we're going to New Zealand. All right.
Yeah, I mean, we sent like, two, three million pounds of lamb to New Zealand, Australia to help cover their needs in their time of need.
Okay. Well, also, their diets are very heavy in lamb. I mean, that's
exactly.
very big over in New Zealand
exactly.
and Australia.
But anyway, like I was saying, the owner of Wagshaw's, Bill Fuchs, I mean, his whole vision was to do the best we can every day.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring the best product to the public. And, you know, larger grocery stores, they don't do that.
Right.
So, you know, we get whole lamb, and we cut every cut possible. I mean, we have lamb breast.
Okay.
We have lamb necks, lamb
kidney.
Lamb
breast is hard to find. I mean, that is a tough cut.
And now
gotta go to Wagshaw's.
Gotta
go to Wagshaw's.
He said breast.
Well, yeah, I said breast, but what happens...
I can hardly control myself.
Oh, my God.
You know, the Mediterranean, they call them riblets. But right. Now people are starting to, like, smoke and grill lamb belly.
Oh,
I mean, there are so many uses of lamb, and people, you know, used to be afraid, oh, it's gamey. It's,
sure.
And that was big lamb. I mean, these are like 40, 45-pound whole lamb.
Okay.
Aww. And
well, we have to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk about the different kind of cuts and what people can do with them on the grill. And then, Nick, I want to talk more about what you're doing with the lamb for Lamb Jam. Who else is participating and what people can look for? All right, everybody, can we have a round of applause, please, for our guests who are up here right now? You've got a cocktail being served to you. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be right back.
Here at Best Buy, we have expanded our selection of HD Radio car stereo receivers. New HD Radio car stereos are in store and offer you the best in digital entertainment and information. More music from local HD2, HD3 radio stations, iPhone, iPod control, digital traffic, iTunes tagging, and more. Best Buy has the leading brands, Alpine, Pioneer, Kenwood, JVC. Lots to choose from, with prices as low as $120. Here at Best Buy, we recommend HD Radio technology.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
On June 10th, we've got another live one for you. We're going to be at Jeff Black's Black Restaurant in Bethesda. We're going to be talking with the guys from Union Market, and there's going to be lots of oysters from both Rappahannock and Dragon Creek. So join us at Black's in Bethesda.
I guess you could say we're going to be back in Black's.
You bet.
That's Foodie and the Beast live Sunday at Black's in Bethesda on 1500 a.m. at 11 o'clock.
In the beloved fairy tale, Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
Country boys and girls getting down on the farm.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast, everybody. Can we get a round of applause? Woo! We have a winner to Lamb Jam. Very exciting. And we're drinking, John, just tell us quickly what we're drinking.
You're drinking Caipiroscas, which are a vodka variation of the cachaça drink known as the caipirinha.
Oh, all right. So tell us what's in it. Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, my God.
You just killed my husband. Can you give him another one, please?
Holy guacamole.
You're about to get a fresh one right now, Nikki. I would never give you a used drink.
All right.
The drink is a very simple drink, again, to make at home. We use an organic sugar called Demerara sugar, organic vodka made by Prairie, and fresh muddled limes. Uh-huh. And it's easy. You take the limes, you use one of these guys here. I'm
sure everybody has a muddler. Does everybody have a muddler in their house? If not, go to the kitchen store. Go get one.
I had a muddler and a father.
Yes, I know you did. Okay.
Thank you.
Please don't laugh.
I forgot my symbol today. Sorry.
Mudder from a different mudder, right?
I know.
At any rate, they're muddle, vodka, limes, shake. And then you just dump all... This is the one kind of cocktail that is intended to dump all the ingredients out.
Okay, great.
So you get it to this point here, and you just dump it all in.
Super easy. Look how pretty. Voila. Gorgeous. Did everybody like it? Did you guys try it? Was it good?
If they said no? You wouldn't want to answer.
If they said no, I would say, oh, my God, get another drink.
I'm taking over. Okay. I want to jump back. First of all, we did not say that Nick Stefanelli is the master executive chef at Ashok Bajaj's Bibiana downtown, which is a...
Maybe that's why you didn't say it, because you couldn't pronounce it.
No, Bibiana.
You're going to have to Uber home after this.
I know, I'm going to, because...
But, he doesn't Uber. Only
I love Uber.
All right, you need to be quiet, and so do you.
Oh.
No, but I do want to say that, Nick, really, that is the Italian restaurant in town.
Yes.
It's delicious.
We love it.
Really, Bibiana... downtown. that you would go to.
Wait, Theola, there's four downtown.
Four. But your food is a masterpiece.
Right.
The last time
it.
We ate there was some kind of meal. So I just want to,
well,
you know,
I just ate there last week, but right. Who knows when he was there.
All right, so Pimp, how'd you become a butcher?
My father was a butcher. He had a business in the Eastern Market.
My father was a butcher. My mother was a butcher. Everybody was a butcher.
My mother was the boss. My father was the butcher.
Excellent. That's how it should be.
Sounds like our house.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was a child, and we all went to work with Daddy on the weekends. I'm the youngest of four children, two older brothers and a sister. And I got to tell you, I was like born to do it. I mean, I'm one of the few people you'll ever meet in your life who get up every day looking forward to going to do what they do.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's like, I dream about work, and I literally, you know, I wake up at 2:30 in the morning saying, oh my God, did I order those, you know.
Right.
Counting sheep.
Yeah.
If she had only known Luca Brasi, they would have been perfect.
He wouldn't have been swimming with the fishes, right?
Okay, so at Lamb Jam, just talk about quickly, how are you going to be cutting things up?
Well, so they're giving me a whole lamb, okay. And
has anybody here watched a whole lamb be cut down? Has anybody watched any of this stuff? Are anybody interested in butchering?
Does anybody want to?
It's very cool.
It doesn't have the head. There's no head at the lamb.
Yeah, just bring me the chop.
Yeah, I know, because everybody wants to have it after instead of seeing what it looks like before.
I like
With no electricity, I'll split the lamb, and then we'll have, you know, two legs, two racks, two loins, two shoulders. And so we'll do, you know, two things with each cut. You know, I'll bone a lamb shoulder and roll it into a roast. And then I'll leave a lamb shoulder whole intact, trim it up, and talk about it.
Right.
And then you'll have two racks, so I'll take one and I'll French it. So, like, you know, half of a crown roast of lamb. And then the other rack I'll take and I'll cut it in between the vertebrae with a knife and go through naturally.
It's like surgery.
Exactly.
I mean, you're knocking it down.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're like an orthopedic surgeon.
I'm the surgeon
except
of meat.
Except you're not putting it back together.
Yeah, right?
The two lambs are talking about my new hip.
Okay. So, tell us about some of the chefs who are participating. Who are you competing against?
Well, we have Peter Smith, we have Ed Witt, we have John Critchfield. Vidalia is going to be there, so there's a lot of,
John
a lot
Critchley.
Of big hitters.
Who won last year?
John did.
John Critchley won, right? Okay. Yep. And so, how many dishes are you serving? Is it just
everybody
one dish?
Everybody gets one dish.
One dish.
Only one dish.
Okay.
18 chefs, one dish.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It sounds pretty
Put your
good.
Best foot forward.
Excellent. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Can we have a round of applause, please? Pam the Butcher,
right.
You need to see her at Wagshaw's. Apparently, you need to order your meat from her. And Nick Stefanelli from Viviana. Guys, thank you so much.
Because if you don't order it from her, you're going to wake up with a horse head in your bed, I think. Yeah? You know?
Now, while we're switching up to our next segment, John, I wanted to ask you, John Arroyo,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about what's behind the cocktail program here and how you put your cocktails together.
The cocktail program here is very similar to our cocktail. Well, first of all, the principle of our beverage program is based on classic cocktail making.
Okay.
Or pre-prohibition style of beverage making. So basically what that means, we use the finest spirits available on the market.
Mm-hmm.
We make everything from scratch. We make all of our own elixirs, fresh juices, bitters, all
and
kinds
are
of
people
great stuff.
Looking for that? I mean, when people come in here to Founding Farmers to order drinks, like, are they shocked that you guys are making everything? Are they interested in it? I mean, what's the sort of feedback you're getting?
I think the feedback is super positive for the most part. I mean, mm-hmm. We're still new to this market. We're still getting our feet wet, if you will, in
right.
Potomac. But I think the
except for the hour wait.
Yeah.
It's just an hour.
You know, I think it's great. I mean, I think it's exciting for the people in the suburbia world here mm-hmm. to have these great cocktails that they're having in the city. I think what's better than that?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
They're having them now. I love them. They're like my best friends now.
It's
cocktails
great.
With breakfast. I love you.
Cocktails with breakfast. Everybody enjoying their cocktails? Is it good? All right. Excellent. Okay, well, we're
going to talk Fancy Food Show
Fancy
now.
Food Show. How many people have heard of the Fancy Food Show here? Has anybody heard of it? We got one Fancy Food Show.
So,
let me just lay it out for you, because I've been a couple of times.
I was going to lay it out.
But you've never been, so why would you talk about it? Okay, it's at the convention center. It is an enormous, enormous, enormous exhibition of food products. More food pieces and products. This is just a small example of the millions?
Not quite millions, but 180,000 food products.
Okay, it feels like millions to me.
And I think you tried most of them when you were there last
year. I did.
Year.
I ate my way through there. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, all right, now you can introduce people and have a good time.
I must have been home with the kids.
Oh.
Well, first of all, we've
got
Ron Tanner with us, who you were there for the start. Weren't you there with the first show?
The first show was 60 years ago, so, long ago, but I've been there for a while.
You seem younger. I thought you were. Yeah, I'm making this up as I go along. And we've got Maggie Castello, who is, you have been there.
I was at the first show.
Okay, there you go. See.
He knew something.
No.
And Peter Caldas from Caldas Brothers, and you're a return guest.
Yes, he is.
Great olive oils from Greece.
Okay. Yeah? So let's start with Ron Tanner.
So, Ron, let's take it from the top. The show is really for the industry. It's how the industry finds out about all the new product that's out there. Yes.
That's correct. The show is for retailers and for restaurants primarily, and we're expecting about 17,000 buyers that will come to the show to really discover products that you'll find in your local specialty food store, your local supermarket, and your local restaurant.
Well, I think what's really interesting, I mean, especially if you all can take a look at the products that he brought up here, so many of these products start off at the Fancy Food Show, and then the next year you find them at your Whole Foods, your Safeways, your grocery stores, your gourmet markets. I mean, it's fascinating how it goes from that to the stores.
Now, I just want to say that Ron is a man after my own heart because he brought hemp hearts.
What is it?
Hemp.
Hemp.
You know, hemp.
I brought the hemp hearts for you, but I brought some other products for Nikki to try. Are you going to just get into those before she tries anything?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so what is it? Tell us what it is.
Oh, hemp hearts are, they're a hemp seed that you would sprinkle on yogurt or you would sprinkle it on salads.
And, oh, thank you,
and
honey.
Hemp comes from
apparently
Manitoba.
I deserve a lot of it.
So enjoy it. Don't eat too much of that.
I was going to say.
You're not going to finish the show if you eat too much of that. Because the hemp and the cocktails don't go together.
Neat. So how do you go about selecting the products for the show?
Well, we have a lot of members. We're going to have about 20 companies that are exhibiting there. So it's companies that come out with wonderful things. And they come from small companies and from rather large companies as well.
Right.
We have here some chia pasta. Chia is an ancient grain that's
chia
really popular.
Chia is like the hottest thing right now. Everybody's like, you should have a chia in something every day.
The hottest thing that's going right now. And
right.
A lot of companies are coming out with it. And we have a lot of celebrities that have products too. I brought some Guy Fieri habanero chicken wing sauce. If you would like to try it,
I'll pass
David.
I love hot sauce.
Because David's still eating these hemp seeds over
here.
But
you love Guy Fieri, so.
But let me ask you, I mean, one wouldn't think that Guy Fieri, given, I mean, most people know who Guy Fieri is. You wouldn't think that he would need to take a product of his to something like the Fancy Food Show. You would think that people would just snap it up. I mean, so what does it mean to you that he comes to the Fancy Food Show?
Well, it's wonderful because it gets a lot of publicity for the products, and he needs that market. You know, he needs to expose his things here. The Emerald got his products out of the Fancy Food Show. Kat Cora got her products out of the Fancy Food Show as well.
Oh, really? So they all did. What else do you have here? Tell us more of what you have here.
Well, we have this on fire and brimstone. It's a hot sauce, which comes from a company called Bone Doctors. The Bone Doctors are actually orthopedic surgeons down in Charlottesville, Virginia. So, you know, they repair knees all day, and then they make doctor stuff at night. We have some Frontera food salsa from Rick Bayless from Frontera in Chicago. And then we have this wonderful oat shake. I know you've been drinking cocktails all morning.
I know,
but
so we
this
need
is
a little
kind
health.
Of, yeah, a little bit of a healthier thing. It kind of combines coffee and oatmeal together. It's a product from Finland, which
Thank
they
you.
Must drink when they get up in Finland.
All right.
Well, let's talk to Maggie a little, because Maggie, you've got Hunt Country Foods, and your product lines are Best of Luck pastry. Are they cookies and shortbreads, right?
Okay. And they're being passed out right now. I think people are getting a little taste of them right now.
Horseshoes and nails, and they come packaged in a box with four horseshoes and
Oh my God! Right after the Preakness, perfect! I love it.
And I want to say that I ate some of them, and they're delicious. Mm-hmm. I had them.
And so you've been going to this event now for how long?
I think about 24 years.
Wow!
Good for business.
Yes. Plus, you get to network with not only the business but all the other producers. It's a very family-oriented business.
Mm-hmm.
Most food companies are family-oriented businesses, and so that's the fun part, too.
Now, what else do you make? So you make the cookies, and you've got the lip chocolates here.
We make horseshoe chocolates.
Horseshoe chocolates.
So that's our Best of Luck line.
Okay, how cute.
Thank you, Peter.
And then we make luscious lips.
Uh-huh.
The people will get one in their bag. We make hot lips, honey lips, peachy lips, and espresso lips, and they all have a different personality as good lips.
She's got honey lips. Did you hear that? Honey lips. Sounds like. Oh, and wait, we got more.
And our biggest seller, we have about five different brands. Our biggest seller is a product we call Chocolate Ann, and it's chocolate bark in a clear bag with a hang tag and a ribbon, and the ribbon changes with the seasons. And it's our no-nonsense perfect.
Beautiful.
Couldn't help it.
All right, Peter.
Cool. That's our largest seller.
Now, you're a virgin. This is your first year, right?
It is my first year,
I mean,
absolutely.
I didn't mean like a virgin.
Why don't you tell everyone in Washington that Peter's a virgin?
Embarrassing.
You know what I mean. You're a virgin at the Fancy Food
Show.
Yes,
ma'am.
You shouldn't be embarrassed.
Why? Tell us how you came to this conclusion.
So we're new members, first time to join the Fancy Food Show, the NASFT Trade Association.
Uh-huh.
And what we're bringing to the food show for the first time are our olive oils from the island of Lesbos in Greece.
Right.
As well as our tomato sauces from the island of Lesbos in Greece.
Okay.
And so my brother and I started the company about a year and a half ago. We're going to be inheriting my dad's olive trees at some point in the future.
He's holding them over your head.
That's
at some
right.
point,
yes,
you're going
he's
to get
still
those
alive
olives.
And well. And,
right.
And so what we decided to do was do something about it and bring our delicious, fresh, very grassy-tasting olive oils to the States. In addition, we have our tomato sauce with orange and three other sauces. Mm-hmm. The tomato sauce with orange is this really sweet, fresh-tasting orange sauce that goes great over grilled chicken, which is what everyone
I've
will be
had
tasting
it. It's
today.
It's delicious. Okay, great. Oh, it's being passed out right now, so you can get a little taste.
Nice.
Excellent. I
and
love that.
And all
you
our
that.
Sauces and tomatoes, or our olive oils and tomato sauces are available on caldetastes.com.
Okay, great. And well, what are you hoping to get out of the Fancy Food Show? I mean, are you looking to get this product in lots of different markets? Do you think it'll bring you nationally? I mean, what are your hopes and dreams?
My hopes and dreams are for Greece to get out of its crisis
okay,
and doing our small part
all right,
to help.
It's only a one-hour show, for God's sake.
For the Fancy Food Show, actually, it's been wonderful meeting other small family producers and being part of the community. And so what we hope to do is continue our growth in small specialty food stores, and I think it's going to be a great
well,
opportunity
we
for us.
Well, we thank you both for coming in today, and we wish you both the best.
I just want to say
thank
something.
You.
From now on, I'm not doing the show. I want to be in the audience and eat this stuff.
I know, right? We're just standing up. We're starving up here.
I'm starving, Marvin.
All right, this is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie of the Beast. We'll be right back.
Hey, Jamie, who sings that song? Whoa, piece of bread.
That can't possibly be a real song.
No, it is. We heard it on the car radio this morning.
Matt, we really need to get HD radio so you can hear song lyrics better. Actually, we should get a Kia Sorento with the Yuvo infotainment system and HD radio. This way you can hear all your corny lyrics with crystal clear digital sound quality, and I can listen to good music on the extra FM HD2 and HD3 stations it offers. Now sing that song again to me.
Whoa.
Voice-activated Yuvo infotainment system with HD radio. Now available in the Kia Sorento.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
Hey everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
On June 10th, we've got another live one for you. We're going to be at Jeff Black's Black Restaurant in Bethesda. We're going to be talking with the guys from Union Market, and there's going to be lots of oysters from both Rappahannock and Dragon Creek. So join us at Black's in Bethesda.
I guess you could say we're going to be back in Black's.
You bet.
That's Foodie and the Beast live Sunday at Black's in Bethesda on 1500 AM at 11 o'clock.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today, or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Well, I heard him. Needed some help on the farm. Somebody with a truck.
All right, we are back on Foodie and the Beast. David, Nikki Nellis, and our many, many, many guests. Before we get going, I do have to thank the folks that support the show, because otherwise...
Okay, you didn't do that right. We need to hear welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. Come on, everybody, let's hear it. I mean, have you had too many cocktails? Is everybody already asleep? Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
See, you know, Nikki's good at this because in college she didn't go to class. She
wasn't just college.
She just went to the clubs. I studied.
I still go to the clubs.
So, all right. So, anyways, I just want to thank Georgetown Bakery, the Neighborhood Restaurant Group, our friends over there, Bethesda Central Farm Market, Charles Schwartz and Son, the Blacks Restaurant Group, and, of course, our friends at Founding Farmers Downtown and here in Potomac. You didn't think I was going to leave you guys out, did you?
Save the best for last.
All right, so let's go back over to – oh, wait – We're going to talk to Pam the Butcher from Wag Charles.
Oh, hi. So in your swag bag today, you're going to get a nice little secret recipe of ours that you add to 1 pound of ground lamb, and you will make the best rockin' lamb burger you ever had. This is our dry ingredient, and all you have to do for yourself or not is add a very nicely diced sun-dried tomato. And can I tell you, you will be thrilled.
Oh, I already did that joke. I already did that. All right, so let's go back to John Arroyo. John.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
What is everybody getting?
You're going to receive your last sample. I apologize if you can't stand up afterwards, but the last sample today is what's called our Benson Sour.
This is what it looks like when it's all pretty. Yeah. This is it pretty.
It's a traditional sour cocktail made with a fresh egg white, fresh lemon juice, organic vodka, a little bit of bitters, and a fresh lemon zest.
What makes vodka organic? No pesticides, no nothing?
All of that, plus the grain itself that is used to make the vodka, is organically farmed.
Okay. All right. Very cool.
It's really
very
good.
Very good. Has everybody gotten this cocktail? Are you intriguing? It's good? Excellent. I love hearing that. Okay. Let's talk about, you're going to be presenting us with two other cocktails.
They should be up shortly. Okay. Yes. You're going to, this really special treat just because you're here today.
I know, because I'm special.
You're going to get a taste of two cocktails that will be on our Farmers and Fishers menu. Mm-hmm. Farmers, Fishers, and Bakers, I'm sorry.
That's the new place. I want more details about
the new place. In Georgetown Harbor?
Yes, Redo. We had a little Armageddon incident down there where we suffered from a great flood. Had to shut the restaurant down, but blessing in disguise. Now everyone gets to experience this brand new restaurant with a brand new beverage program, and chef's going to have some awesome dishes on the menu. So,
well, what's the difference in the beverage program down there? Wait, first, when is it opening?
I think we're looking at late fall right now.
Late fall? Okay. What's the difference in the beverage program?
A huge difference. A big difference is that this is going to be a beer program.
Oh.
So we're going to have 24 American craft beers, draft beers, and one cask beer that will be made specifically for us.
Okay.
And that's the big part. And then there's going to be a small section on there for tiki cocktails.
You've always wanted to do tiki cocktails because
yes,
I know you like them.
I love it. It's a hidden gem. It's a forgotten beverage. Most people, unfortunately, their only experience for tiki cocktails is terrible Chinese food.
That's what
no
makes
offense.
Me think of.
You know what? My father used to take me to the original Trader Vic's.
Yes. So I'm
they're
bring
only
it.
Sweet, though. Aren't tiki cocktails sweet?
That's what I want everybody to find out,
cocktails.
That they're not. They're not supposed to be sweet.
Okay.
Tiki cocktails are very strong rum-based cocktails, which you're about to taste one in a second.
Okay, cool.
And they're fantastic.
All right, I'm going to jump in because I want to talk about Farmers, Fishers, and Bakers.
Wait, I think you should first talk about your patio that's opening up here, right? That's what the construction is out front. Am I correct?
I guess I'm not going to be talking about
anything. No, you can't talk about what you want. We talk
is
about
anybody else out there married? Good Lord, I can't get a word in edgewise.
But what I have to say is so much more exciting than what he has to say.
All right, this crowd understands oy vey, right? Oy vey.
We are opening our patio. It'll be open, I think, at the end of next week or
soon.
We're shooting before Memorial Day.
Yeah, and it's going to be
the perfect place.
It's going to be beautiful outside, so you can really take advantage of the gorgeous area.
How many seats? What do you think?
I think it's about 100 seats.
Okay. You need to put that mic up so we can hear your beautiful voice.
Sorry.
There we go. Now we can hear you.
No one's ever said it was beautiful.
It's beautiful now, honey.
She's
flirting right in front of me.
The patio's great. We got great seating, so there's lighting, there's heat, there's it's kind of like sitting inside.
Okay, so let's hear about the new concept. What is it?
The new concept is Farmers, Fishers, and Bakers.
Okay.
It'll open up in Georgetown. The menu's going to be very different than what
I mean, that's a tremendous space. The space is enormous.
Yeah, and with the help of the flood, we kind of got to design it the way we really would like to design it. So we got like a second shot
something
at
like
it,
that.
So
okay.
It's good. But it's completely different. It's really all geared around our bakery as well as...
Because we do all of our bread in-house.
Right. Sure.
So this is a great place to do even more bread.
So are you looking to use it more as a commissary for
It'll be a commissary for the three restaurants.
So does that mean that you plan to be rolling in dough?
Yeah. Yes, we do.
That's
for sure.
You.
Oh, my God. It's been a long show.
I've been waiting all day for that one.
Save
that
cocktail.
Tough crowd.
But it's primarily going to be about fish. It's a lot of our coastal ports that we're kind of going to pull a lot of different items in. Like I said, it's different than what we do here in Potomac as well as D.C. So it's really focused around the microbreweries. It's around bread, There's pizzas. We're also bringing in a new category, a sushi bar, which is completely different than what we normally do. There's things of combinations like ahi tuna, watermelon puree, and a little bit of goat cheese. So there'll be
American sushi.
Very, very unique sort of style of sushi that we're doing. So it's not something you're currently
So then it's really